Technorama episode 310 for June 15, 2011, Rotary Dialing.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for this song, and it's from that band that had that hit one time, and it goes like this.
Over there, in the media corner.
You are a genius.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 15, 2011. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great, and I'm anxious to get started.
Me too. It feels like we haven't done this for like 8 millennia or something. Millennia is a fun word to say, isn't it?
Millennia.
We also have Julie, our new graduate.
Woo! Yay.
She graduated the third grade. Aren't you proud?
Yeah. Finally.
On to middle school.
Hey, you know, the third grade teacher's been there longer than her, so figure she's at least smarter than the teacher, right?
Probably. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to diss the teachers, though. I shouldn't have said that.
I'm smarter than the teacher. They've been there for 10 years.
I'm smarter than a fifth grader.
Oh, we're not going to go there. All right, we have a lot of stuff to cover because we've been out for a while and a lot of cool things have been piling up, so we want to get right to this. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have a robot that makes cookies. I'll take a dozen.
What?
Are porta-potties the next terrorist target?
What?
And something else we're not really quite sure of. All that more coming right up.
Hey, you bums.
Do you like trivia, fun facts, music, and sound effects in under 10 minutes?
No.
But I do.
Mostly Trivial.
For over 5 years.
With your host, Johnny B.
Get Mostly Trivial.
Okay. In the iTunes App Store.
Mostly Trivial.
It's a great way to support our show.
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
Oh, poor Tron Guy.
Poor Tron Guy. No, shh. He's coming up later. He's coming up.
Yeah.
We got more stuff on him. All right. First, we always start out with a shout out to the chat room. If you're new to Technorama, we want to see you there on Sunday nights. We're around 9:30 Eastern time. You can go to chuckchat.com/Technorama and see us there. We make it so easy. Craig, we got to get your webcam back up and running one of these days.
Yeah, that's on my list.
In the chat room, we have Maybe Step K, Original C. Tomasi, AD Improbable, Ben Von Debdrup, Definitely Julie, Evil Twin Marv, Fake T. Elliot, Gru, possibly NCAF1, Real Comedy Forecast, and Vaguely ZML 2008. Should we explain where that theme came from?
Yes, please, because I don't quite get it. Maybe.
Clinton was having problems, and when you leave IRC, sometimes it leaves behind your, you know, your handle, and then you rejoin, and it says, oh, that one's already in use, so I'll put an underscore after it.
Uh-huh.
Well, he said, no, this one's the Real Comedy Forecast, and then it just took off from there.
Oh, I got you. I see.
For a minute, okay, I thought he was going to be talking about, you know, audio players or something, and I was going to be Winamp Chuck or something.
Real player. I'm iTunes Step K.
Turning to our birthday calendar, since we've been off for 3 weeks, we're going to try and catch up, so we'll do this really fast. May 27th was Tanya from Dancing with Elephants. Happy birthday. May 28th, Chris Martins, host of the Jesus Geeks, ZNet Central, and producer on the Edge of the Darkness. May 30th was Petri Lopia. I hope I said that. If not, I apologize, as always. In June, we had June 1st in Selgenor. Selgenor. Yeah, got that right. June 2nd, Anthony Gartner. June 4th, the late Leo Schwerin. May he rest in peace, and he's in that big Technorama sky, or big podcast listener in the sky.
Yeah.
Also on June 4th was Tara Parkman, daughter of Richard Parkman, who must be a listener. Adam Larson was June 6th. Also on June 6th, Grandma Grace. Grandma Grace, 1921. I hope she's still around and listening. That'd be awesome. Bobby Irvin, June 8th. June 10th was Tim from Australia. Also Weber. Wow, we haven't heard from Weber in ages.
Yeah, Weber, where art thou?
June 15th. We're now on current show date. Miss Eliza C. from Wingin' It 3D. Wow, there's a show that you haven't heard in a long time and probably never will again. June 16th, Joe Edmison. June 16th, also Jason from The Angry Geek. Digital Dan from The Hook Show on June 17th. Luke Platypus from the UK. Zian Fox. Oh, Brian Witt, just down the road, June 18th. And Stephen from Wichita, Kansas, June 19th. And finally, ASCII Adam from The Hook Show. Whew, the bell's getting a workout today.
Well, the ASCII, The Hook Show has really got it going on.
He's on the 21st. Yeah, they probably got the podcast together because they all had birthday party about the same time. They were sitting around going, you know what we ought to do?
That makes sense.
We ought to all register at the same time.
No, we ought to make a podcast because I got this great idea. Can't you just see that?
Doing the Hook Show anymore?
I don't know if they are. We're gonna have to go look. If you want your name on the birthday calendar, or if it was your birthday during the last 3 weeks or this coming week, we wish you a very happy birthday. And you want to get on the birthday calendar so we can call you out in the future? Go to chuckchat.com/wiki or click on the wiki link on the Technorama website, and you can find it there. Add your name. We'll celebrate you when the time comes. On this day in history, it was on this date in 763 BC, the Assyrians record a solar eclipse that is later used to fix the chronology of Mesopotamian history.
And the first human blood transfusion is administered by Dr. John...
John Baptiste.
Yeah, I already read this once. I was... Danae's in today in 1667.
Benjamin Franklin makes his shocking discovery today in 1752 when he proves that lightning is electricity.
It was today in 1785 that saw the first ever casualties of an air crash. Two Frenchmen die when their hot air balloon explodes during the attempt to cross the English Channel.
I was nice to you and took the Frenchmen's names out. Charles Goodyear receives a patent for vulcanization, a process to strengthen rubber today in 1844, and processed cheese was born.
Ew.
Sweet. John Alcock and Arthur Brown complete the first nonstop transatlantic flight. They reach Clifton County, Galloway, Ireland, on this date in 1919.
Doctor Who is from?
Close.
It's Gallifrey.
It was today in 1955 that the Eisenhower administration stages the first annual Operation Alert, or OPAL, exercise, an attempt to assess the USA's preparedness for nuclear attack. I think we got a B-.
Near-Earth asteroid 2002 MN misses the Earth by 75,000 miles, or 121,000 kilometers for you European folk. About one-third of the distance between the Earth and the Moon, just 9.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to French mathematician Bernard Lamy, born today in 1640.
And another mathematician, Nikolai Chabotkov, was born today.
I think he needs a throat lozenge after that one.
You're not going to help him or anything?
Virologist and Nobel laureate Thomas Huckle Weller, I wonder if he's related to Peter Weller, was born today in 1915.
And another Nobel laureate, chemist John Bennett Finn, was born on this date in 1917.
Legendary comic book creator Hugo Pratt was born today in 1927.
And paleontologist Jack Horner turned 65 today. We do have a story about him later, right?
Yes, we do. Okay. Julie Haggerty, the actress who played Elaine on one of my favorite movies, Airplane, turns 56.
And finally, Doogie Howser is finally grown up. Dr. Horrible, and among other things, in fact, actor Neil Patrick Harris turns 38 today.
And that's the way it was on this day for June 15th, 2011.
And the good news keeps on coming.
Yay! First up in the news, we have a pool table.
Sweet.
That's not...
It's so much fun, you can say it twice.
That's right. It's like Mary Hartman, for those of you who remember that television show. This is a pool table that actually goes in your swimming pool. Now, at first, I thought it floated, and I wondered, how would you even play if the balls kept rolling around from the wave action?
Oh, no kid. They would just kind of...
Yeah, no, yeah. It's actually anchored to the bottom. And since it was just one of those odd combinations of pool table and pool table, I mean, if you splash it, doesn't the felt get wet and then it like slows down your...
Maybe it's waterproof felt.
If it got water on it, then it would be like that when they were playing in Star Trek VI at the beginning with that watered down billiard table.
Because I definitely know what that is.
No, I'm sorry. Star Trek V.
Much more clear.
You're better off not knowing. Trust me on this one.
Chuck, you've done a good job shielding your daughter from this film.
We'll talk more about what she's been watching later. Beyond the coolness of being able to play pool while in a pool, there is also the added bonus of being able to make as many pool-related puns as you want to get this crazy thing installed. Yes, the waterproof table works both in and out of the pool. Well, that's fortunate. It's perfect for when you want to shoot pool outside, but also want to cool off in the water. It won't come cheap. The asking price is $6,500. Ouch.
You know what? I would just rather have a pool table and get some beer to cool down with.
There you go. Soak your feet in the ice. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper than continuously ruining non-waterproof tables by submerging them in a pool. Yeah, I got a point there.
And aren't usual pool tables like $5,000?
Well, so it's not extremely...
Those things aren't expensive. Cheap.
Hey, you know what they should do is actually just play pool underwater.
What about the cues? They're made of wood.
Well, they got float. Wax or something. Yeah.
Like oars. They're sealed. A lot of them are sealed, you know, with some kind of, you know, stuff.
And sometimes, you know, you hit the ball really hard and one pops off the table.
Yeah.
Splash.
You better bring your goggles to this thing. You're going to be fishing around for the pool. What if you have a pool that's tilted from like 3 feet to 8 feet?
Technorama rates this as I don't buy it.
I wouldn't buy that for a dollar.
I would. But if you have a pool, doesn't that make you kind of rich enough to get a pool table?
Okay. If it's just one of those things that you gotta have because you gotta have it, I can see that. Next up we have, the people at MIT are at it again. They've made a robot that makes cookies.
Hey, and this is not the first cooking robot we featured on this show before.
What was the other one?
What was the other one?
The pancake robot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'd rather have the cookie robot.
How soon forget.
The kids at MIT have cooked up another robot that can bake chocolate cookies for them. They've named it PR2 and filmed it mixing the necessary ingredients and with considerable efficiency. As efficient as it is, though, this robot still is a rookie. I won't fault it for the fact that it can't bake yet, but it takes a great deal of time programming and planning that has been done, but it doesn't show any concern for its cooking materials. Dropping bowls all over the place should get you kicked out of the kitchen. Wow. Bender.
This batch is below quality. Hey, you know what? Instead of PR2, you can tell some nerds have been working on this. They named it PR2. They should have named it something like Snickerdoodle.
They've lost sight of the ultimate goal of cookies.
No, the ultimate cookie computer pun. You call it chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip. Oh, I was thinking macadamia, but that's better.
But the real question is, what does PR2 stand for?
Programmable robot number 2?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, it stands for there's nerds working on this project.
And we have no imagination for naming things. We just named it after one of our variable sets. Variable. It was the next logical order in the hierarchy.
I like the first comment. Mom approves. That's kind of fun. It's got a little bulky for just being a cookie making robot.
It almost looks like, you know, man in a lab coat. I'm not sure what that thing on the front is, just below his camera set, that flips around like a Rolodex.
Looks like a, you know what it looks like? Like a receipt printer.
Here is your bill for the 2 cookies.
Yeah, they started piling. Hey, let's put this on there. Let's put this on there. So we'll save our grant. So it'll look like we're doing something.
Everything's an award-winning show these days to me.
Yeah.
With material like this, how can you go wrong?
That's right.
Next up we have... Hacks and Stray Stories!
Oh my god, what she's wearing.
Oh, wait, no, you'll love this. This. Let me get the picture on there for the webcam people. There you go. I saw this, and from the picture, I said, this is Technorama. These are MIDI music hats.
It looks MIDI like a one-eared rabbit.
This is from Gizmodo. These MIDI music hats seemingly spawned during a drunken three-way between a snowman, the Smurfs, and something sprung from the mind of the late Dr. Seuss are allegedly an art project cooked up by Sonny O and Anna Obakane. Or Obakani. Worn on the head as hats.
Looks like a unicorn.
Worn on the head as hats are wont to be. They include a variety of softballs, lights and sensors that play musical tones when manipulated by the wearer or willing partner. While music may be a bit of a stretch when it comes to labeling these what these hats create, I will say they definitely sound like old school video game arcade. They're really something.
Do you have some of the music to play on here?
Do you want to hear some music? Let me see if I can bring that up.
They do look like a unicorn.
Oh, that's what they look like.
I you know, we could make one of these out of tinfoil. Probably be just as effective.
I have.
You
know what's interesting is the video. There's two videos, one at the top and one at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom one, I just noticed that, you know, when you hold your iPhone the wrong angle to shoot video, you know, in a portrait fashion.
Yeah.
It makes the video look funny because it's straight up and down, but it looks like Vimeo has actually turned the player to match the video.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I think they did it on the top one, too, but it's in kind of a 16:9 letterbox format.
Another one's landscape. Yeah, the top one's landscape. The other one's portrait. They're holding the camera, probably an iPhone, you know, straight up and down.
We have to look into that. The other thing in the Hacks and Strange Stories, you know what, the Russians, you got to give them credit for this one.
Oh, those wacky Russians, what are they doing now?
Well, when they're not scrapping an old space shuttle or something. They are concerned about terrorists' next targets. Official in Moscow may be overreacting just a bit to the threat of terrorism in their city. They believe bathrooms will be the next big target and are seriously considering the installation of bomb-proof latrines throughout the city. These terrorist toilets will be made from fibrous concrete that can withstand a bomb blast or a really big burrito. Each lavatory will be solar-powered and heated with comfort. Ah. If this plan is approved, these latrines could be installed by the end of the year. Oh, and keep your watches handy. Your watch handy, as you have 30 minutes to do your business before the door flings open, an alarm sounds, and emergency services are alerted.
I saw, what was it, one of those Japanese game shows? And they did that kind of stuff where somebody went in the bathroom and they squatted to go to the bathroom. All of a sudden, it shoots out the back of it on skis, like down the ski slope. You know, and there's one where... he went into Port-a-John and it raised him up slowly and all of a sudden the sides fold away and he's up top.
Yeah. wasn't there a movie where the guy went in the Port-a-John and it fell off over a cliff and it was like tumbling?
I saw one where they go into the porta potty and they set up a fake office. So when they walk out, it's like you walking into a conference room. And they're just like, oh, sorry, and went back in the porta potty.
That's funny.
When terrorists have toilets, only toilets will be terrorists. No. Well, how's that go? You know, when criminals have bombs, something like that. When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
Okay.
Oh.
When terrorists have to go to the bathroom, only bathrooms will be cut. Terrorists.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
I can't figure it out yet.
Forget it. Move along.
Wow. Crossword thought there.
Yeah.
We have up next the Remember When segment. Oh, yes. Yay. Now, back in 1954, Back in 1954, they changed over a lot of the telephones. You remember watching some of the old shows where you had a phone on the wall, you turned the crank, and you spoke into the thing like a daffodil? You said, hey, Clara, patch me through to Zach. Right? That was operator-assisted calls, and you did that even for local calls. Well, in 1954, AT&T put out this handy little video that showed people how to use the new dial-it-yourself telephone.
AT&T put out a video, like on YouTube or something?
wait, we're getting that. Okay. So Julie watched this with me this evening, and this is an 8.5-9 minute video on how to use a dial telephone. But now think about it. Back in 1954, a lot of people really didn't know how to use a telephone, period. So this lady's telling about the numbers and the letters and how each phone number was actually, remember, we've talked about this before, we had like capital 50410.
Yeah.
The capital was like your local calling station, and then the 50410 was your other number.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
It was like your local number. And she's talking about all the networks and stuff and how it's part of a plan, and they spent years building up the infrastructure. And then she goes to this giant demo-sized phone that's on a table, and I've got it on the webcam right now. The thing is like the size of a large suitcase. And she's talking about, be sure that when you dial to go all the way to the finger stop, don't go past and don't force it back and don't stop halfway. And it's like,
you can't let your finger ride back.
But we used to force it. Remember the old slimline phones where the finger stop would actually go a little extra further?
Yeah. And I remember I sometimes would force it back to hurry up. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can actually cause a misdial doing that.
Probably. And you know what? I probably have.
And then she teaches you about the different tones that the telephone makes. The dial tone, or a pleasant hum. What does she call the busy tone?
An interrupted burr noise.
What?
Yeah, interrupted like bird. Burr. An interrupted burr, like B-U-R, B-I-R, whatever.
Burr?
And then she goes,
I just always called it annoying.
Yeah.
Be sure to look up, if you don't know the number, look it up in your directory. And all of a sudden she pulls out this phone book from nowhere. Like, where do I get one of these directories?
Directories.
If it's a frequently called number, you might want to make a note of it in your handy little, what was it, the blue book of frequently called numbers or something?
No, the blue book of addresses and phone numbers or something.
I figure I'd just keep it on my computer.
Yeah.
And if I need to know somebody's number, I'll just get it off of Twitter.
The internet.
I am them. Hey, what's your phone number?
You're right.
But it was just amazing to think how much of a radical change that is. And yet today we're expected to pick up an iPhone or an Android phone or something with all this functionality and just be able to use it magically. Nobody gives you an 8-minute video on anything. I suppose you could watch Steve Jobs do his latest spiel on, you know, iOS 5.
Watch the hour-long keynote when he announces the thing.
Right.
Could read the manual.
Because he goes through every feature. What's that?
Could read the manual.
Yeah, right.
They don't give you a manual anymore.
Wait a minute. Manuals? Nah. Hey, when all else fails, that's when you read the manual.
I don't know. I want to see Steve Jobs try to stuff this suitcase-sized phone in his pocket.
And today we're announcing the iPhone. Get him a puck.
I have a steampunk cover for my phone that has the rotary thing on the back. The theme is from Jelliskins called Underworld. So if you want a rotary on your phone, use that.
Yeah. I bet there's an app for rotary.
I love it.
You think there's an app for rotary?
Maybe. That would be pretty funny.
It's not as fun.
We have another robot-related article. We have RoboCop circa 1924. All right, you can't see it on the webcam, but this is very well.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just noticed something I'll bring up in a moment.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot in this. He looks like a water heater with a dome shape. If you almost put R2-D2 with legs and he's got one arm. This is supposedly a crime-fighting robot. Okay. And in the picture, they have this crowd of people cowering in front of these water heaters with legs and tank treads for feet.
And one arm with a spinny, I don't know what.
It's like a flail. It's kind of like a pie plate with like, whip bald things on it. And
it's like a mace. It's like a mace, but it's a disc instead.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's out in front of them like a buzzsaw, and these people are like, I'm not protesting.
I'll never protest prohibition again.
Okay, I agree. Prohibition was a good idea. Inside, they've got this cutaway diagram of the eye lights, and there's this big headlight thing inside.
And those are I-E-Y-E, not eye lights.
Right, yeah. Tear gas tank, and there's an engine inside.
Okay, I got to bring something up. I see what you're saying about the cutaway with the parts. I do take exception to where the tear gas outlet is and the exhaust.
Yeah, it's kind of anatomical, isn't it?
It's eerily anatomically correct.
Okay, but it has caterpillar treads on feet, on legs.
Yeah, what's the point?
Why does it have both?
You can do ultra. Yeah, whether you're on ice or stairs, you're covered.
In the picture, there's two of them. Maybe, yeah, there's a bunch of them. Maybe they can do like a couple skate.
Now, I had to blow it up very large to read the cutaway. It says, as is well known, radio can be used today to produce mechanical effects at a distance. This new art is known as radio telemechanics. Glad they hung onto that term. Many years ago already, it was possible to start and operate vehicles and machinery entirely by radio. The United States Navy, a little over a year ago, operated the warship Iowa entirely by radio. The firing of the boilers, the steering of the ship, and all the controls were entirely affected by radio. The radio automation is disclosed on this page, and in our cover design is therefore not a wild dream, but it can be constructed by anyone with means available today. The radio automation contains the machinery as shown in our illustrations, which comprises a gasoline engine, a radio control cabinet, a telegraphone, whatever that is, a loudspeaker.
You have the mighty remain silent.
Kill all humans, and other auxiliary apparatus.
Kill all humans.
The automaton is kept erect by stabilizing gyroscopes. The machine does not really walk like a human being, but rather glides along the road over all obstacles by the small caterpillar tractors attached to its feet.
That'll go well.
Ice skating.
Hey, included in the picture there is a radio-controlled car.
Such a machine would seem to be exceedingly valuable to disperse mobs, or for war purposes, and even for industrial purposes. In the upper illustration is shown the police car, which controls all movements. Does that police car have wires to each robot?
Well, it says radio-controlled car. That's where they control them from, right?
In the radio. Okay, visual so of radio control signals.
Oh, the visual of radio. Oh, okay. He's got one of those.
Not a radio controlled car. A radio control car.
Right. Okay.
And where the police are safe and the robots do all the work.
The antenna is one of those clothesline things.
Yeah, it looks like clothesline. That's fun.
For night attack, the automaton is provided with eye lights, copyright Apple, and the loudspeaker, which is used to shout orders to the mob, which orders can be given direct from the radio control car. Inasmuch as this car is always in the rear of the automata, it can watch their movements and direct them as necessary by circumstances. As a close hand-to-hand fighting machine, the radio automaton have no equal. Well, except Superman, but he didn't come along yet. Bullets do not affect them. And if equipped with 20 to 40 HP engine, or horsepower engine, they will be well nigh irresistible. They probably have no superior for fighting mobs or for war purposes. I want one. I want to see somebody build one.
Why don't you get one and walk around?
I'm dressing up in this. I'm going to go to the next cosplay. The loudspeaker. Man, this thing's got half of a Victrola horn inside it.
And I'm going to be the radio control car.
The radio control car looks like one of those old, like, bakery wagons or something.
Bakery.
You just need to crawl inside a water heater and tape radio control cars to your feet.
And put a buzzsaw in my hand.
Right.
Oh my, such fun. Always a good time.
I know everybody would say, dang a gum, you're a geek.
How to cook an egg with your cell phone. You know, if somebody just made a cell phone like that, I'd buy it.
Or make eggs.
Does it take pictures and do all this other nonsense? I've got an MP3 player. I've got my iPod video. I'm happy with that. I'm just not a converged device guy.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
Damn, beat it down. Beat it.
Do you know what a Tesla coil is, Craig?
Say, stick your tongue to this.
Oh, we lost Craig.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama, and I'm listening to Technorama on my library PDA.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Media corner, media corner, media corner.
Now you're happy to be here.
That's right.
He tried to skip it.
All right, we have a many of you have probably seen this week. X-Men First Class came out this past week, and one fan / musician went so far as to create a little video. He was dressed up as Magneto in the classic Magneto costume, and he came out with this version of Lady Gaga's Born This Way. I'll just play a little bit here.
Hey, it's Ryan. I just saw X-Men First Class, and it inspired me to write a song. It's called Born This Way. Doesn't matter if you love men or X-M-E-N. Just put your claws up, because baby, you're born this way. Professor told me when I was young, I was born with superpowers. I slick my hair, put some spandex on, there ain't no yellow suits like ours. The government thinks that we're a threat, they don't have the right to say. You can't shoot laser beams out of your head, they might have trouble getting laid. I'm a mutant, not gay. I think I made a mistake, but I'm an X-Man, baby. I was born this way. Hide yourself in our school. Iceman keeps it so cool. We are the X-Men, baby. We were born this way. In Blackbird, fly away. Blow your mind just like Jean Grey. Baby, we were born this way. Havoc's gonna save the day with blast and plasma ray. The X-Men, baby. We were born this way. Raise up your claws like Wolverine, or let it out with a banshee scream. Red, blue steel, or hairy chest, skinny pores, or diamond breasts. If your super abilities killed your friends or families, just lay low with us today, cause baby, you're kinda stuck this way. No matter good, bad, or both, Team X or Team Magneto, we can be best friends except for that douchebag Pyro. We made a movie again, Wolverine Origins was a fluke, now First Class is an epic win. In the Blackbird, fly away, blow your mind. We are the X-Men, baby. We were born this way.
All right, that's pretty good. There is one little thing at the very end that I didn't capture because it only works on video. He does a bit of a Magneto trick, but it is really, really cheesy. So if you want to watch that,
does he pull a metal guitar pick?
No, I'm not going to spoil it. Just you gotta go check it out on the show notes with the video. It's funny in its own cute little way.
All right, cool.
We heard the ID earlier from Jay Maynard, the Tron guy, and for those of you who don't watch America's Got Talent, like me, he was on America's Got Talent recently, but did not receive a warm reception.
Well, let me add that me and my wife were watching this other week, and I saw him up there with Nick, and I went, what? Wait a minute. The Tron guy? What is he going to do? And of course, he was trying to do a little stand up or something.
He was trying to tell his life story. Is what he was trying to do.
And I was like, and then they were screwing around with him and told him to do it a few times. Yeah. So
A+ for bravery. This, I mean, we know Jay Maynard in his costume and everything. He has no fear.
Yeah. Well, there you go. He kind of fits in. He could be a Green Lantern.
or could be a podcaster. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he should. And when we get him back on and talk to him about that. But yeah, it was a little disappointing. I was like, what's he going to do? And he starts talking about he's going to tell his life story. And went, well, wait a minute. I don't think that's going to work quite right. But and it didn't.
Well, give him an A-plus for effort, right?
Well, I was kind of pulling for him just for the fact that he came out there in his suit, you know, in front of everybody.
Is it my imagination or is he getting bigger?
No, I think the suit shrank.
That must be it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so. We'll go with that.
So.
All right, now can I go on?
Yeah, now
to Matt Groening launch- working at Apple? Okay, sorry about that. We kind of skipped around and made a big mess of things. So the creator of Simpsons, Matt Groening, better known for Simpsons and Futurama, worked mm-hmm. at Apple at one time. And he created, I'm not sure what these were for, like to tell what type of person you're working with or something.
Company motivation.
Yeah, there's one titled, Who Needs a Computer Anyway? And it's got this like rabbit with one big ear. Kind of looks like a unicorn rabbit thing.
Yeah, there's that's actually one of the rabbits from the...
Like his original...
Life is Hell?
Okay.
I'm trying to remember the title of it, but there's a series of books that he did before with these kind of rabbit characters.
Well, he did one for Apple with
Life
in
Hell, excuse me, yes.
Called Who Needs a Computer Anyway? Thank you, chat.
Thanks,
room.
Comedy Forecast.
And it says, The Stressed. Welcome to college. The most wonderful carefree years of your life. Now get to work! And it says the traits and warnings underneath each one. Traits. Frenzied, nervous, jumpy, twitchy, bug-eyed. Warning. This could be you. The Clueless. What do you mean, Clueless? I haven't got the foggiest idea what the heck you're talking about. And it looks kind of like the crazy cat lady from The Simpsons. Traits, often seen wandering the campus, saying, Where's the party? Warning, don't trust this person to take care of your pet goldfish over the weekend. Well, that makes sense for the crazy cat lady. All right, and there's the last one is my favorite, the Technoid, which looks like Milhouse with mouse ears. Yeah. As the comments on this site were being called Milmouse.
Milmouse.
And furthermore, but he talks like Professor Frink. And furthermore, I believe the entropy will eventually come to, hey, where'd everybody go? Traits. Fascinated by everything in the world, but how to dress. Warning. Likes to talk about the latest black hole theories at parties. So these people need a computer, apparently. And Matt Groening back in... Was it 1988 or something? 89? Mm. Just when The Simpsons was kind of taken off from the Tracy Ullman show to become its own show.
Yeah.
He did this. So, interesting artwork.
Yeah, I remember reading the, like I said, The Life in Hell. And thanks to Comedy Forecast for reminding me what the name of it was. And my other two characters were Jeff and Akbar. The two little characters, they got like the Charlie Brown shirts on with fezes. They both wear fezes. some of those are funny.
Mainframe joined us. Richard Green from Geek Out with Mainframe. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, thank you. Thank you for helping out with the Heroes Con with Craig last week. His comment in the chat room is, hey, I like black hole theories.
Yeah.
So very much thank you for that. Wanted to get you in there. What else do we have? Oh, a couple other things. Idiots. Go over them real fast. Idiot's Guide, How to Be a Pirate. This is from Geeks Are Sexy this last week. It's just a one-page comic thing, like, you know, how to install IKEA furniture or something. This is a guide to being a pirate. Step 1, gouge out eye and cover with patch. Step 2, cut off hand, replace with hook. Step 3, saw off leg, replace with chair leg of choice. Step 4, chew on some rocks until the teeth fall out. And there's a little warning on the other side that says, do not become a pirate if living alone, pregnant, or on blood thinners. Includes extended periods of blood loss and pain. Please consult a doctor if clotting fails to occur.
Fails to occur.
Clothes, beard, rum, ship, and booty not included. Death or serious injury may occur. Of course there's serious injury. You're gouging your eye out.
Yeah, I like the second one. Cut off hand and replace with hook.
Chair leg of choice.
What about the bird? Is the bird included? Didn't say anything about not giving you a bird. And speaking of Jack Horner, it's his birthday, June 15th. You know, I saw this video and I didn't recognize him till he spoke, because usually I've seen him for the past. For those of you who don't know, Jack Horner is a paleontologist. He was one of the first guys, like 25 years ago, that I remember saying birds are related to the dinosaurs. He was comparing bones and said, you know, if you want to see the remnants of a dinosaur, look at your Thanksgiving turkey. And everybody thought he was a crackpot back then. But he's become more of the standard theory guy these days. And he's usually wearing a hat and has this long white beard, gray-white beard. And but in this video, he got his hair cut, his clean-shaven. He wasn't wearing the hat. He's a little bald on top. And I went, I don't think that's really him. But when he spoke, it was him. And he was talking about Jurassic Park and how he mixed in a little bit of humor, because if you've read Jurassic Park or seen the movie, you know that there's a mosquito trapped in amber. They drill in, they tap in, and of course all mosquitoes back then sucked the blood from the dinosaurs and apparently nothing else. So just go find a mosquito and you'll get some dinosaur DNA. And he said that if you did that, the only thing you're going to wind up with is a room full of ancient mosquitoes. So he was talking about these genes, these recessive genes, are still in birds. And he was taking a chicken and saying, look, when we x-rayed the embryo still forming in the egg, it had a tail. So if we turn off that gene, just like sometimes you get people born with tails, right?
A vestigial tail.
Right. Or they actually used one, found one of these and made a chicken with teeth. And he said, When you hold these two diagrams up, the velociraptor and a chicken, you say, look, they're the same. And the audience is just dead silent. And he goes, you guys are just like the sixth graders. They don't believe me either. They want more evidence. They want more proof. They say the chicken, the velociraptor's cool. Chicken's not cool.
Chicken's not cool.
So he said, if we could find the gene to turn off the tail, because it gets reabsorbed while it's still in the egg, if they could, they did some research. How did you go from the velociraptor's three-clawed hand to a wing? He said, it's there in the embryo. If you can stop it, you can have more of an Archaeopteryx hand. And it's like a 15, 16-minute video. It's a recent TED conference. Very cool thing, and he's making a chickensaurus. And he's doing it for the sixth graders, apparently.
And you know what? It still tastes like chicken.
Yeah, but it'd be a cool chicken.
Not with teeth. I'm not sure if I want a chicken with teeth.
Teeth and claws. Yeah, baby. I'll take one of those chickensaurus rex.
Yeah.
As a pet or to eat?
Country-fied chickensaurus. Yeah.
You want a pet or chuck? You want a pet chickensaurus?
He also made a pun about, he said, if Kentucky Fried Chicken was clever in their marketing, the colonel could say, you know, it comes with an extra piece.
Yeah.
All right, one final note before we get out of here. Julie's been watching. Tell him.
Firefly.
I'm turning to a new brown code.
Nice suspenseful answer.
How far are you? You on through DVD 2?
Yeah, I'm on DVD 3, and I just finished the second one, so it's
okay.
Like,
so she's about 3/4 of the way through. There's 4 DVDs in the collection, and enjoying it so far.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, very good show.
Well, see, when I started watching it, I watched it, and it took me a couple episodes. Like, well, I'm really getting into this. And towards the middle, I loved it. And towards the last couple episodes, I was mad at Fox for canceling.
Of course. It's like everything else.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that it's not going to end well because it wasn't ready to end.
Well, we still have Serenity to watch, too.
Yeah, you got the movie.
Yeah, that's a nice direction they took it.
Yeah, Wash does.
She understands that. She understands that. We were on vacation last week, and I just randomly said that. I wasn't even thinking of the series, and she's heard that a number of times, but didn't know what context it was for. She goes, "Is that what that means?" Aww.
If he hadn't said it, I wouldn't have remembered until he actually died, and like, oh yeah, that's what everybody has been saying.
You have to let Evo know. That's funny.
Yeah, he ruined it before she even watched it. So apparently there is some statute of limitations on spoilers. Hey, Julie?
Yeah.
Jesus dies.
What? I haven't gotten to the end of that book yet.
That's it. I'm not reading the rest.
Boy.
All right. So we're going to follow
up. That was funny. What did they go see? It? Was it an advanced screening or like the midnight showing? And then they podcasted about it the next day?
I think so. That's a classic moment in podcast history right there.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
He just blurts it out on Winging It.
Well, even it got me. I was like, what? Oh, man. Yeah,
I saw it opening night.
I saw it.
So I think I heard the podcast slightly after that, but I was still stunned that he blurted it out.
Yeah. Stupid Evo.
Did Jane get his hat yet, Julie?
No, I'm wondering when the Jane hat comes in.
She's into third DVD of four, and Jane doesn't have his hat. I thought he got it in Janestown, but apparently not.
No, it's the mail room. They made a mail stop, and they were the body.
Hmm? Wow. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. I'm having problems recalling some of these, so it's fun rewatching with her.
I need to rewatch them myself. So. Yep.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line, 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. If you don't have it in your phone, I'm not sure why. Just go type it in now, because you know you're going to be calling, because we're going to be coming up with a point system and bonus points for people who call or send us an email or tweet or mail us a voice comment, whatever. We're gonna game this thing sooner or later. Still working on some of the finer details of that game. The website is chuckchat.com. See you there on Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern. You can watch the webcam live and all that good stuff. Just head over to the website, chuckchat.com. Click on the Technorama link and you will be there. Craig refaced the website. If you haven't seen it lately, you might want to go check it out. A cool new banner logo and everything.
Yeah.
I like it. Have you seen it,
Charlie? I like it. It's a lot. Cause
yeah,
a little,
I noticed that. It's very...
It's shiny.
Shiny.
She said it.
Shiny.
It works. It works.
Nice.
And you know what? You know what my proud papa moment was today? I don't know if you've ever heard or read David Allen. You may have. The Getting Things Done guy.
Yeah.
He talks about this story about when you're a young kid, you have to be taught to brush your teeth because nobody wants to brush their teeth automatically. And you got to be reminded. You're reminded. You know that it's turned into a habit. That when you finally do it without being reminded, you find yourself just naturally brushing your teeth. Well, my proud papa moment was when she said, "Dad, where are the Firefly DVDs?" I don't have to force sci-fi down her anymore.
Yay.
She's brushing her teeth.
That's funny.
Yeah, we still have to remind her to brush the teeth, but she's watching Firefly. That's better.
Wax on, wax off. Brush the teeth.
All right. Hey, we gotta get out of here. Special thanks to Mad Mar for all his great work on the blog during the week. If you're not going there, or visit, subscribe via the RSS feed, why not? Do it. Go check it out. We got lots of great content showing up there. We also have Ustream to thank for their modest live streams on Sunday nights and storing these things so you can watch them later. You can catch it on the website, or if you want to click over there and dig around, you find something you like. Chat room provided by thinstack.net. Thank you very much to Steve Rickenberg and his team over there for getting that going for us. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and a whole bunch of great podcasts. Go over there, check them out. You'll find something you like. Whew. Until next time. Tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, give us a binary high five.
101.
Whoa. Hey, you stood my line.
You can say it too.
Oh, okay. 101.
I think I'm going to cry.